This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All I want is all the power.
Rams and Seahawks.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
No tougher assignment in football than a night game in Seattle.
And the Rams will go home with their fourth win of the season.
Earlier on the show, Colts quarterback Carson Wentz. Still to come from TNT's All Elite Wrestling, CM Punk, Rams offensive lineman Andrew Whitworth, plus from Apple TV's Ted Lasso, actor Phil Dunster. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Give us a call, why don't you? 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. TJ Jefferson is all fired up because CM Punk's calling into the show. 2 hours from now. I mean, 20 minutes from now. My bad. Now, yeah. 2 hours from now, I mean, we're off the air. My bad.
I get fired up by a lot of people, though.
I know. And then it's also later on. This hour is all about you. How about that? Yes.
Is Dak calling in?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. See.
Is Dak calling? Dak called in 2 weeks ago.
Can never have enough.
You know, CM Punk's calling in. And then big ass, your big ass grab bag.
No, this is
I mean, like, it's all, it's the TJ Hour of Power, which they used to call The Price is Right.
Hopefully
back in the day.
Hopefully the ratings don't decline this hour.
And CM Punk will take the middle interview on this program, which
means it's the right move.
The middle interview, because we already spoke to Carson Wentz last hour. He confirmed it's just the one bad ankle.
Just one. Wouldn't say which one.
Said that they're still learning together.
If I had to guess, I think it's the left one.
He likes the Again, we need to, just in case somebody just started tuning in, we're talking about ankles, okay?
I have a reason behind that. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Because he talked about in the interview being able to plant. He was still able to plant and throw and get some power. That makes me think the right ankle is fine.
Chris Brockman,
so he's dealing with the left ankle.
On his main quarterbacking days.
Yes.
Right there.
That was.
How
were
you as a quarterback?
I was super average.
I was not expecting that answer.
Okay.
A lot of things I will pump up, like
your jump shot.
Maybe the best shooter in Maine history, up there. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But in terms of playing high school quarterback at Thornton Academy,
yes,
I was super average.
Super average.
We made the playoffs.
Yes.
We made the playoffs. That's my sophomore year, by the way. I was super average, but I kind of had the Daniel Jones thing. I turned the ball over a lot.
Oh. Well, yeah, it didn't happen in New Orleans.
I was winging it around the yard. I threw a bunch of picks.
It's interesting you choose Daniel Jones saying something like that.
Well,
he turns
the ball over a lot.
All right. Okay.
So we ran the option back then.
But you would know what's a plant leg and what's not a leg.
Yes, I would.
So as a fellow quarterback like Carson Wentz, you're able to diagnose what that is.
That he was talking about, he was still able to plant and throw and be strong. That made me think right ankle, fine. Left ankle, reason for the injury report.
Very good.
Wow.
Very good. Look at this. Look at him sleuth that one out.
That's investigative journalism right there.
So you can text Calais Campbell like, hey, Carson.
Well,
Wentz,
he doesn't have to. All you need to know is just know. That's what it is. So he's going to hand off a lot to Jonathan Taylor anyway. And
I probably think so, yeah.
Hope for the best.
Yeah.
And again, that's on Monday night. We saw the Thursday night contest where the Rams come out with a W. It did not look promising after Stafford misconnected a couple of times in the first quarter with some wide open receivers, and then threw one into the end zone thinking it was, I guess, nobody there trying to throw it away, and it was intercepted. And the Rams then boat race him in the second half in terms of total yards. 476 total yards after only the fifth first half in the McVay era with just 3 points. And still came out with it. And here's another thing about Stafford, too. He's, you know, that the whole conversation is that he never had a 1,000-yard rusher, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like he's going to have one again this year.
Sure doesn't. It sure does not.
It doesn't look like, you know, Daryl Henderson's going to be healthy enough.
Yeah, he could definitely get there if he stays healthy.
Some of these lanes that are open are really impressive.
I mean,
but, last night, 29 rushes for 118 yards.
Pretty good.
That was the Rams last night. And you wouldn't think, that just shows you how impressive a night they had offensively. 29 rushes, 118 yards, and Robert Woods, 12 catches for a .150, and Kupp is just, I mean,
Bobby Trees was
7 for 92, and Stafford threw for 365 yards, and they ran for 118 on 29 carries.
Stafford had a Should have had a couple more touchdowns. Cooper Kupp got tackled at the
no
one.
No doubt.
DeSean Jackson.
Wasn't pretty, but it's still a W. I'm looking in the standings, and it's nothing about aesthetics. The beautiful thing is that fourth win for them. And now they sit back and root for Trey Lance, quite honestly, because that would catch him right up with Arizona. We'll talk to Andrew Whitworth about all this coming up in hour number three. And Phil Dunster, who plays Jamie Tartt on Ted Lasso, a beautiful show. Just a beautiful, beautiful show. And that'll be fun, certainly for all Ted Lasso fans out there. This man was called out by another one of our regulars in hour number one that he was all excited. Turzo and I was excited that he got into the lease before Jeff in Detroit.
Smoked him out.
And look who's on the phone line. Jeff in Detroit.
What's going on, cousin?
What's up, Jeffrey? How are you? Smoked you out.
Calling in. It's a party on a Friday up there, boys, isn't it? I mean, my goodness. You guys out there winning football games with a quarterback that looks awfully familiar? I wanted to call in and talk to you about that real quick. The thing that people have to understand, and I've seen it many times before, for some reason, Matthew Stafford is kind of like Seabiscuit. You got to get right there with him, and he has to look the other horse in the face before he just goes off. Matthew Stafford is a straight-up battle. I mean, snaps his finger back in place and goes back to work. Glad he's doing it somewhere else, man, for real, because it looks like the situation here in Detroit is like you can fill up two truckloads of moral victories, but that's never going to get us anywhere. So, you know. That's how it's going, man. But looking good in Rams gear, man. That's very impressive.
He's just got, and thanks for the call, Jeff. He's got a connection already with Cooper Kupp that I think is the envy of many other quarterback wide receiver combinations. You know, I sniffed that one out, I think, in a four downs 2 weeks ago. Like, that's a new dynamic duo in the NFL. And then Robert Woods, 12 for $150. Higbee, a tight end with a touchdown in the end zone. And then Sony Michel, an excellent pickup when Cam Akers went down, certainly when the Patriots were done with him. And that offensive line, you protect him, see you later. That should be a wrap more often than not. Arizona, however, came in and just absolutely showed him the back of their hands collectively. That's what made last night's win that much bigger. I mean, a home loss in division is tough to overcome, but guess what? San Francisco's got one. The Rams have one. And Seattle now has one. And it's just three games only been played in the NFC West. Incredible. Your Dallas Cowboys do take on the Giants. You heard Buck and Aikman say many times that they're going to head there next. Mm-hmm. Always big when the Giants and Cowboys play each other. And then, you know, that Sunday night game, Bills and Chiefs, mentioned yesterday over and over and over again that this is the Bills Mafia moment they've been waiting for. And the Chiefs look ripe. Get them now. Get them now when the defense is trying to figure it out. Get him now when Mahomes is throwing interceptions like he did in September, like he's never done before. Get him now when they're having trouble holding on to the football. Maybe some doubt, self-doubt creeps in, right? Get him now. Sunday Night Football, they're showing up into the spot where they did not pull it off in the AFC Championship game last year. And it's time for Bills Mafia right now, feeling good. Three straight wins. After that clunker of an opener against the Steelers, three straight wins, including two shutouts. The defense is looking good. The Mandalorian quarterback is hooking up with Diggs. Emmanuel Sanders is there. The running game looks better already in the first four games this year than it did all last year. Right? Dawson Knox is still showing up, showing out. They're feeling good. So right now that they have done is they've climbed on top of the RV.
Table's on fire.
Sunday Night Football's the table.
And
they are ready to jump off and give him what, the people's elbow on the way down.
You know, the Macho Man elbow.
And then frog splash. And then stand up and say, how do you like me now? All right. That's a good one right there. That's a good one. I got three games, however. As always on a Friday, under the radar for your week five marquee right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Three games under the radar.
Very good. That's my just the quick
it's,
ones.
It's great.
The quick
it's
ones.
Great.
The quick just burst of production value, just to show off that we're not mailing it in. We're not laying it up. I really appreciate that.
I feel like that's Michael Winslow from Spaceballs.
That could be. Spaceballs. That's where you go. You don't go Police Academy movies.
I mean,
it's impressive.
Well,
that's under the radar. Spaceballs.
He did that specific.
Oh, okay.
But in
he
Spaceballs.
Did everything in Police Academy.
That's true.
Did we just discover you've never seen the Police Academy movies?
No, I've only seen like the later ones, like four and five.
Well, this is now totally under the radar. Can you give me some NFL Films music, please,
yes,
Mr. Feller? Let's get right into it. We got three games under the radar, underneath the marquee. Not a lot of people are talking about these games, and they're just as important because they're games, and they're also very important to the fan bases that are talking about it. Let's start with Carolina hosting Philadelphia. The Eagles are now 1-3.
Oh, that's a good game.
The Eagles are now 1-3, and the Panthers have finally gotten a little bit of blood in their mouth as the Cowboys smacked them around a little bit. Carolina goes back home. Sam Darnold under center. Does not appear that we're going to see Christian McCaffrey in this game, right, Christopher? Seems like that's
doesn't look like it, that way. Not trending in that direction.
Doesn't seem to be trending in that direction. And the Philadelphia Eagles, once upon a time, won a football game. That once upon a time was week one. If they fall to 1-4, losing in this one in conference after losing one in conference, taking on San Francisco a couple weeks ago at home, and then now here's another one against Carolina, and the Philadelphia Eagles after this one, the Philadelphia Eagles take on Tampa Bay on a Thursday night. That's a big lulu of a step in week six. They got to have this one. Certainly after, you know, putting some points up against Kansas City, they got to feel good about it. But 1-4 is not acceptable, and Carolina wants to show everybody that they were not a fluke at 3-0. That's a big one. Speaking of Tampa, this one's under the radar because everyone thinks, you know, I would proffer to say, since everybody in the NFL world is now talking a bit more about what goes on behind the scenes and places that Mo Green does not have a plaque or a signpost, I would imagine, what's that name of that show with Jeff Probst is the host?
Survivor.
And if there's a pool next to that television show, I would think that Tampa, if that's not already been, if you will, selected on a remote to watch that television show, that this one will be hit mostly for people who are interested in the show. That, what's the name of the show that Jeff Probst is?
Survivor.
Okay, very good. That's what I think would perhaps be the number one choice of week five participants. And Miami, you're already beginning to hear, like, what's going on down there. And the whole what's going on down there was simmering. And you know what kind of lit a match? This show. And Trent Dilfer came on and talked about the quarterback's coach, Charlie Fry, being the one that's in Tua's ear. And that's when everyone's like, well, it's a two-headed monster at offensive coordinator. What's going on there? And then the offense just went absolutely south in the first game after all of that was being discussed against the Colts. And Deshaun Watson sitting out there on his Instagram account, and the trade deadline's right around the corner. Would the Dolphins make a franchise-altering move in the middle of a season? If they're 1-4, maybe. That's what's at stake in this game underneath the radar. And then the last one. Normally when it's 3-1 versus 3-1, and a division leader is visiting another team that's got a piece of the division lead, we're talking about it all week.
Yeah, marquee game.
Well, one of those teams, the one that's got a piece of the division lead, is called the Cincinnati Bengals. And when the Packers show up in Cincinnati, everybody's like, well, okay, that's nice, Cincinnati. You've had a nice 3-1 start. Here come the Packers to town. Well, this is a totally winnable game for the Cincinnati Bengals. And if they want to snap the lapels of the entire football world, and certainly those who talk about it and say, yes, sir, we are the ones in the AFC North that is under the radar and no longer. Here comes Green Bay. Jalen Smith, freshly signed. How much are they going to throw him out there? On the road in Cincinnati. And can they go hunt Aaron Rodgers? That one is fascinating to me. And those are three games underneath the radar in week number five. But not underneath my radar. Nothing's underneath my radar. I just have radar.
You making picks for those games? What are your picks?
No, I'm not doing that. Game day morning's off this weekend. So I don't have to make any public picks. I'm going to take the week off of making public picks.
Can you just make them here? We're among friends.
No, no, no. I'm just like, it's a week off.
We're friends. It's your boy.
We're friends.
It's a week off because, you know, the London game's exclusively on NFL Network.
At 9:30 Eastern.
Not a week off for Colleen Wolf, who's hosting the pregame.
She in London?
No.
Oh.
No, and not a week off for Steve Smith Sr. and Willie McGinnis and Michael Irvin, who's working this weekend.
He is.
I would say this.
Everywhere.
I don't want to speak for Michael. I don't want
to
speak for Michael. Don't know if it's appropriate for me and Mooch and Kurt to send him a text Sunday morning asking how work is doing. How's it going?
No, all three of you, though, need to coordinate at the same time.
We should take photographs of us sitting in bed.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, you need to coordinate.
Terry Cough
Robe? Breakfast?
Yes.
Like a nice cold glass of OJ in bed. Watching him.
Done.
On the couch with your feet up.
All at the same time. I don't know if I'm going to be up that early, though.
All at the same time. Oh,
you will, because muscle memory will wake you up.
Well, that's a 5 a.m. kick for to start out here in the Pacific Coast.
But 6:30 kick for the game, so you'll be awake to see the game.
The point being, Chris, is he's not working on Sunday, right?
So the idea is to not be awake at 6:30 in the morning on Sunday. I'll just catch to see what the Jets and the Falcons do in quarter one. I'm literally going to tap out. All right. It's so rare for me.
Good luck.
In 18 years, I haven't had a Sunday off.
Even on a day where I get to sleep in, I can't sleep in.
Yeah, your body's going to wake you up.
Your body's
at some
just
strange
like, oh,
hour.
Yeah, it's time to wake up. It's Saturday. It's Sunday.
Susie knows this. So she knows this. That I may, on Saturday night into Sunday, hang out with a friend named Am and Bia. Okay. My good friend Am. I haven't seen Am in a long time.
Haven't seen Am in a while.
Certainly on a Saturday night.
Of course.
But Trey Bien.
Yeah.
With Am.
Wow.
Okay.
I understand.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Rogan.
Okay, let's take a break. CM Punk, baby. CM Punk, everybody. Yes, indeed. TJ Jefferson is all excited. You wrestling fans should be as well. We all are. That's coming up next. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We have ourselves some royalty. You ready, TJ Jefferson? You wear a lot of the T-shirts that are combined the essence and name of this man.
Yes, sir.
One of the famous, most decorated wrestlers of all time, now part of AEW, and AEW Rampage can be seen tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern on TNT to watch CM Punk take on Daniel Garcia. But before that, CM Punk here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
I'm excellent. And, you know, before we continue with anything else,
yes, sir.
When I was remodeling my house, I almost put a urinal in it.
Okay.
It makes sense.
Now cool. Then, for the radio, terrestrial radio listeners who are just saying, why would CM Punk say that? It's just we We talked about Meghan Trainor and her husband have side by side toilets, and you know,
yeah, I don't got anything weird like that, but I considered a urinal.
Okay, and I'll bite. Why, CM? Why?
Because it was suggested. Like, oh, what if you put a urinal in here? And I literally just went, I guess that makes sense, but you know what? No, okay, skip it. And that's about how long it took.
Well, I think that's a wise choice. How are you doing, man? How does it feel to be back in the game, back in the ring, Punk?
Oh, it feels great. It really does. You know, I think I missed it without realizing I missed it. You know, just the like actually, you know, throwing on some boots and some knee pads and stuff and getting in front of a live audience. You know, there was a point, I think, where I had done everything I could possibly do, and there was really kind of no avenue for me to enjoy something I used to really, really love. And then AEW came around and kind of the spark grew from there. The idea, the possibility that I could come back and kind of re-engage with my love of pro wrestling again, and that's exactly where I'm at right now, so it feels great.
Well, I interviewed Cody and Brandi Rhodes together, and Cody came just a couple weeks ago, and Cody came on a couple years ago just when AEW was in its infancy, and you know, when I was talking to the Rhodeses the other day, because I'm an NFL Network guy now, 18 years, but but when we were just age 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, we were dreaming of being good enough and legitimate enough for those in the NFL to want to join us. And then folks like Dion joined us, and then you know Brian Gumble called games for us. And I think they view your arrival with them as legitimizing their infancy now being part and parcel of the wrestling world. How do you feel about that?
I try to keep my feet on the ground when I hear stuff like that, but I understand that, and I think there's some truth to it. You know, I just don't want it to, you know, blow my ego out the door, you know, because I do take that as a quasi-responsibility, you know, like, to me, like, it's great. It's great that I'm here. It's great that Bryan Danielson's here in AEW, but to me, like, we gotta start the work, you know, and I don't want to rest on my laurels and just be like, oh, I'm here now, everything's great, you know. I want to do fun stuff, but I also want to help grow the company.
So what did they sell you on that you bought? What did you say? Okay, let's do it. Why?
You know, it originally was nothing that Tony Khan was offering me. You know, I'm at the point where it's not about the money. Otherwise, I would have been back. I was gone for 7 years. I would have been back at some point, you know, to cash grab in those 7 years. I think the biggest thing was a friend of mine who had left WWE and was signed with AEW, and he just started there during the pandemic, and he unfortunately got a pretty serious illness, and he passed away like day after Christmas last year, or this year, actually. And they did a tribute show for him. And the entire show was dedicated to him. It was very emotional. You know, pro wrestling is a pretty tight-knit community. You know, like, you could not see somebody for 20 years, and then you run into them somewhere, and it's just like you saw him yesterday. And I just saw the entire company come together to celebrate Brody Lee and his family and his you know, two little sons. And that just really resonated with me because I had never seen anything like that in pro wrestling before. You know, normally it's like, oh, 10 bell salute, you know, here's a t-shirt. Yep, we really love this guy. And it's just kind of on to the next. And they just really poured their heart and soul into dedicating a show. And, you know, they're starting a foundation now for him. And that was the big thing that made me go, huh, you know, all that stuff about pro wrestling being a family backstage, like, you know, it looks like it's actually true in this place. And then, you know, I start watching more shows and I see more young talent, and I begin to see things that I could be doing within the parameters of an AEW wrestling ring. And I guess I just got the bug again.
And then when you returned and you're standing in a ring and you're in the United Center and a Chicago kid, CM Punk, gets in that ring, and you started talking to the fans, it looked like it got very dusty in there, and I don't mean Rhodes. It looked like it got really dusty in there with you, CM Punk. Did I see something?
I think my eyes were leaking before I even appeared on camera. Yeah, it was a really emotional day.
It was. And, you know, so now that you are back, and what is your, I guess, first blush experience been now that you're after 7 years? What is it exactly that you think you missed and that you're glad that you're no longer missing it?
Well, it's definitely the selfish stuff, like the roar of the crowd, the adrenaline rush you get, feeding off the people, performing in front of crazy, rabid, sold-out crowds, like 20,000 people at Arthur Ashe Stadium, or, you know, just walking out onto the ramp in front of 15,000 people at the United Center. You know, those things I haven't done in so long, so it's almost like they're new again. Engaging in pro wrestling with guys who maybe grew up watching me is kind of a trip, but it's exciting too, because there's just this whole new generation of young, hungry wrestlers that I guess look up to me as a kind of a role model. And, you know, so like I feel like I'm in this very Reggie Dunlop slapshot position of player coach, old gnarly guy who has got a couple tricks up his sleeve and, you know, wants the team to succeed and win, but, you know, along the way, helps some guys out.
CM Punk here on the Rich Eisen Show. AEW Rampage tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern on TNT. You can watch CM Punk take on Daniel Garcia and so much more. You want to chime in on the naming of Justin Fields as the Bears' new quarterback, CM Punk?
I think it's a little late. They should have done it originally. You know, I mean, think when you draft a guy like Justin Fields in the first round, I think you just got to go all in. You know, like, you're never going to be ready. Yes, you know, but if you wait until you're ready, you're never going to wind up playing. So just play the kid, let him get some experience, you know, build the team up around him. I think we got more problems with the offensive line than we got with who's our quarterback.
No, I think that's part and parcel of why maybe some within that organization was hesitant to throw him out there. My take was he's got the pedigree from his Ohio State, part of his resume to withstand anything. And he's got the legs to run away from the trouble, and he's got the heart, and he's got the brains, and he's got the want to. And when he won his first game after a first career start, wound up in the ashes of 9 sacks, it showed he doesn't get broken. So keep him. Like, what gives, you know?
I agree with you. I agree. I think they need to live in the present, and he is the present. You put him in there, and you see how he does. You can't live in the, you know, the future of, oh, well maybe he's going to get too beat up. Well, let's see what happens. What if he doesn't? You know, like I said, if you wait until the guy's ready, you know, it's going to pass you by.
And what do you think of the idea the Bears might not play in Soldier Fields one day soon? That Soldier Field might be toast. Did you hear about that one?
I blame that on the mayor, you know, like I think that boils down to, you know, the Bears not owning the property they play on, and it winds up being, you know, they have to ask the city if they want to do certain stuff, like have, you know, like the offsite betting and all that. And, you know, as an owner, I understand that that's a headache. And why wouldn't you just go buy some property and then you don't have to ask a landlord, like, if you can or can't do something with the place that you basically consider home? So I get it. It's going to be a big change and it's going to suck. But, you know, they're 45 minutes to an hour north, depending on traffic. I don't think it's really that big of a deal. It's just an iconic thing you think about when you hear Chicago Bears, you hear Soldier Field. So It'll be an adjustment period, but overall, I don't think it should affect anything.
CM Punk here on the Rich Eisen Show, and watching Rizzo playing a playoff game for the Yankees, Schwarber right now with the Red Sox, and tonight we're going to see Chris Bryant, maybe with the best chance of one of the former Cubs to go win another one. How does that land on you, CM Punk, Cubs fan, to see these guys all doing their thing, but not for and with each other anymore?
It absolutely sucks. that team should have been a dynasty. And, you know, the fact that they won one World Series is fantastic. But when you look at all those pieces, and all those pieces are now scattered all over Major League Baseball and playing on different playoff teams. Like, you know, you got to question like why and what happened there and what went wrong. I'm still kind of hoping some of those guys come back to the Cubs, you know, in the off season, you know, maybe they're just trying to fleece some teams for their prospects and their picks and stuff. But I don't know how much hope I have in that. I think the Cubs really let the fans down on that one, you know, like they should have tried to at least keep Rizzo. Like, I get it, but I also don't get it. It's kind of heartbreaking, but I will root for Chris Bryant and I will root for Kyle Schwarber.
Have you ever done the take me out to the ball game ceremonial first pitch double dip in Wrigley Field? CM Punk, have you done
that? I have. Yes, I have.
Okay. How'd that one go for you?
It was a strike. It was a heater.
pardon me for asking, but I've done this before at Dodger Stadium, and my stuff would have hit a right-handed hitter, but the left-hander would have swung over the off-speed junk. But you were at the top of the mound, though, right? You didn't go – you went to the top and towed the rubber, right?
I threw from behind the rubber.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
No, I didn't. I'm kidding. Yeah, I was on the top of the mound. Of course I was. Of course I was.
Well, I mean, some, you know, just stand on the flat ground or at the front of the mound. I mean, you went to the...
It's intimidating. A lot of my friends wind up doing it, they call me and they ask me and they go, what's it like? And I say, it's literally intimidating. You walk out there and you don't realize how many people are there and you don't realize how high that mound is and how far away home plate is. It's a stressful situation.
And then to take me out to the ball game, you know, you think that, you know, you're supposed to sing it fast, but the organist goes very slow. That's when you wind up sounding like Ditka. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, you got to let the crowd just sing it. And okay. You kind of just let them take it.
That's so cool. You must have loved that. That must have been like a day in your life right there, man.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I mean, definitely a top five highlight of, you know, Chicago Phil's life, for sure.
Last one for you, CM Punk. I'm going to hand things over to my diehard wrestling fan and a diehard fan of yours right here on the Rich Eisen Show, our social media grandmaster, TJ Jefferson, who may have to pull an audible because I think your first question, TJ, is why didn't you build a urinal in your house, right?
Yeah, I mean, so that's he answered
now,
that, though.
That's now so. Been asked and
yeah,
answered.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you have to go, you know, with another question.
Another question.
Go for it. I'll give you the floor here.
Well, Punk, Rich has been saying how excited I am that you're calling onto the show. And I mean, I guess you could say I'm excited. I mean, my fantasy football team has been called best in the world for 8 seasons. And if you go to my crib, my Wi-Fi is best in the world. And my iPhone wake up song when I wake up in the morning is called a personality. So I guess you could say I dig CM Punk just a little bit. But, you know, the question I want to have is, you know, we don't want to look to the past. We already know what happened back then. Let's look to the future and this forbidden door that's going on in wrestling right now, man. Like, is there any chance that we'll see you, in addition to AEW, kind of hit up New Japan so we can see some matches with Okada and Tanahashi and Naito? Or is that something you're not looking forward to or not looking at right now? Are you just looking to, like, really help grow AEW?
I'm for sure, you know, both feet in on AEW. But, I know a lot of the New Japan guys wind up coming over and wrestling on AEW Dynamite and Rampage. And I'm not adverse to the idea, you know, but I know they're in the throes of their G1 tournament and stuff like that. So I don't know if they can spare the guys. And I think because of the pandemic, you still don't see a whole lot of, you know, travel from, you know, America to Japan. I definitely think you'd have to do a hard 2-week quarantine once you got to Japan. And I just don't think that's a viable option at this point, you know, like, I got to do that when I take acting gigs, and that's hard enough, you know. So then to be in Japan for 2 weeks to sit in a hotel, I'd probably lose my mind. But yeah, I'm for sure interested. I mean, you said Okada, and I think that's a guy I would definitely be interested in getting in the ring with, because again, you know, gone for 7 years, the rise of everybody who has become a superstar in my absence, like, I definitely want to get back in the ring with, and he's probably the number one guy over there.
No doubt.
Okay. Thank you, CM Punk. Really appreciate this. We'd love to do this on the regular as much as you'd like. We'd love to just have you chime in.
You, you guys let me know. We can talk Chicago sports. We could talk everything, but we won't talk about urinals anymore, I promise.
Well, I mean, again, that's asked and answered. You know, I was going to say that if you do go over to Japan, you can definitely, they've got the seat warming toilets there. And I'm assuming that's what Meghan Trainor and her husband have next to each other, one of those things. But
let's get into some comments the next time he calls.
I got one of those.
Ladies and gentlemen, CM Punk, confirmed. Let's tweet that out. Thanks for the call. Enjoy tonight, and let's do this again. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot, man.
Right back at you. At CM Punk on Twitter and Instagram. AEW Rampage tonight, 10 Eastern on TNT.
I got one of those.
Please.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I'm always honest with you. But you know, whenever I say I'll be honest with you, I'm about to say something.
You're about to say something that you probably shouldn't really say.
Which you guys love.
Down, you
guys love
want to say.
You guys love my tell.
And
that's
then Susie's going to text us
no,
after.
No, it's okay. She doesn't know. I'm probably informing her as well right now. So you know the NFL Network has built new studios, right?
Mm-hmm.
I told you it's incredible.
Heard that.
I mean, it is.
We still haven't got the invite.
Well, it's because there's protocols, actually. Once there's, you know, riffraff like yourselves are allowed, you know.
Brockman, we could just go stand on the gate outside.
Yeah, just like everybody else. Yeah. That the pond's good for
that
you.
Would be
I'll be in the pool.
The
pond's good for you.
Through here to Augusta.
But I'll just tell you. I mean, it has sent a jolt through the entire place. And everybody's just so fired up. And it is just so, wherever, I know I'll speak for it. So thankful that this is now existing. My jaw hits the floor every time I walk in there. And then when you get to work, you see SoFi Stadium right there.
Yeah,
and everything is state of the art. The green room. I mean, the control rooms. The studios. In the bathrooms.
Here we go.
Are these seat warming, top of the line toilets?
No way.
Really?
I'm telling you, man.
No way.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So if there's, we're going to find out.
Oh, man.
As you know, at work, there are two types of workers. Ones who would never in a million years spend more than the necessary amount of time doing their business so they could get back to the actual business at hand as to reason why to be at work.
Sure.
And then there are others who don't mind.
Don't mind.
Reading material, you might
15.
Look on it or whatever. You're going to find out.
I'm scrolling.
Who those people are, because the situation in there has been changed top notch, not just the studios.
You're just going to find out who doesn't wash their hands when they come out.
So when you find out, and if you tune into NFL Network and you see Meghan Trainor picking games,
you know
how we booked her.
Wow.
And her husband.
Wow. Side by side.
Side by side.
Gonna be by your side.
Yeah,
buddy.
I said those words. And the only thing I could say after that is stay tuned. TJ's big ass grab bag is
next. Almost forgot about that.
And your calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Andrew Whitworth of your victorious Thursday Night Football Week 5 winning Los Angeles Rams. And Phil Dunster, who plays Jamie Tartt on Ted Lasso, coming up. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204 Rich is the number to dial. Okay, let's my gosh, I gotta put on my glass. Dante in Los Angeles been hanging on for a while. What's up, Dante?
Hey, what's up, Rich? Thank you for taking my call again. Long time listener, long time fan.
All right, sir.
Go Dodgers, first of all.
Okay.
But looking at football, we're entering into the second quarter of the season. That's when I start to think about how rookie quarterbacks and rookie head coaches are going. The situation in Jacksonville, first part of the question, do you think that there should be or is any speculation with the whole flight gate fiasco going on with Urban Meyer that maybe he knew that it was a calculated risk to do that move? And if it did go bad, that would just be an early exit for him so that he can get his foot in the door and take the USC job.
No.
And second part of the question.
Yeah.
Second part of the question is, with everything that's going on in Jacksonville, if they go 0-for or 1-for, something like that, how do you think that's going to affect the overall psyche of Trevor Lawrence going on into the continuation of his career?
All right, let's take the last part first. Good question. Trevor Lawrence has never had anything like this in his life, I'll tell you that. Four game losing streak. I think he's lost more games this year than he has his entire life, right? High school and college, correct?
Combined.
Right. Yeah. And so so he's never had that, and he's never had a coach, you know, walk into a locker room and say the things that Urban Meyer felt compelled or needed to say this week. He's never had that. So I have no idea. I just think, and thanks for the call, Dante. I don't think that it's going to adversely affect his career. Because the minute it even remotely, everything now remotely twitches in the direction of a diminishing return, Urban Meyer will be gone. I mean, that's a fact. So, I mean, there is one crown jewel in Jacksonville, Florida, and his name's not Urban Meyer, it's Trevor Lawrence. And the reason why they hired Urban Meyer is, why wouldn't you think that the best college coach, not named Nick Saban, coming to this league that is more and more running offenses that look like college football offenses and hooking him up with one of the most generationally talented quarterbacks college football's ever sent to the next level, why would you think that wouldn't work out? Well, yeah, well, you got a guy who needs to be told, don't get on a team, don't stick around, you got to get on a team plane. I'm just wondering if sometimes he didn't go back with Ohio State sometimes on a team plane or whatever. Just like, okay, I'm just going to stick around here. Or he's never had that before because every single time he wants to spend time with his family, he goes back home. I don't know. You know, I don't know the answer to all this. All I know is that Sunday's a pretty damn big football game. Because if he, if the Jaguars get pounded like they do when Derrick Henry comes to town, then I think that might be a wrap. I really do. Because they can't have any more of a vote of no confidence in this team. They can't have a. They would take 1-15 if they tried hard every single time, and they thought that the coach was all in and,
right.
And it was didn't need to have a statement talking about his conduct and reprimanding him publicly from management, and didn't need to have multiple apology sessions with his players and just four weeks, with everything else that was going on from a strength and conditioning coach that should never have been hired. All through, I don't need to go through the whole thing. I mean, we spent all week talking about everything that happened from the minute he was hired to the minute that this happened. But there's a bye week after a trip to London. I mean, let me just tell you this. Shad Khan bringing his team to London, and they absolutely, and the number of questions, I mean, again, we've got Ted Lasso's Jamie Tartt coming up. If all the Trent Crim of the Independents ask all the questions of Urban Meyer, and he's on the national stage, and they just got boat raced, and everybody from the UK is asking him questions about what happened in Ohio with that video, and they get crushed in Wembley, in Shad's own house, and there's that long flight home. How many coaches get got on the way back from London?
I was just going to say, it happens every year.
You know,
Every year someone gets
again,
got.
Big game on Sunday. Let's get to TJ's big-ass grab bag here. Woo! In week, I guess this is like week five of your big-ass grab bag.
Five,
okay,
yeah.
Go for it. TJ, what's on your mind today, your three-eyed raven mind? What do you got for me?
Oh, yeah, let's hit that music, Jay.
Okay, go for it.
So, you know, this week in the grab bag, guys, we've been pretty positive, right? We kind of preach positivity here earlier in the week, so I decided to flip that, and I decided to think negatively. Not in my life, just for this particular segment. So I decided to go with my five least favorite sports moments.
Okay. Oh.
Now, you understand how tough this is because, Rich, as you said, I have 100 teams, so I have a lot of sports moments. This could have just been 100 Dallas Cowboys, but I didn't want to do that. So I tried to pick something from each sport. That's
okay.
Why, you know, everyone will be represented. And so let's just jump in here. I'm going to dig in the grab bag, and we're going to pull out number five. Now, I'm a huge wrestling fan. That's already been touched on. I want to talk about someone that I really love. It's my favorite women's wrestler, maybe my favorite wrestler, Asuka. That's her mask right there.
Okay.
On the desk. Asuka had a 914-day undefeated streak throughout NXT and WWE. And then at WrestleMania 34, she lost to Ric Flair's daughter Charlotte Flair. Maybe, you know, one of the greatest female wrestlers alive today. That's not my big problem. I hated to see the undefeated streak happen, but whatever. My problem is the next year, going into WrestleMania 35, where Ronda Rousey was going to wrestle and Becky Lynch was going to wrestle, they let Charlotte take the belt from Asuka again and made it a triple threat. It should have been a four corners match, Brockman. I was so upset, I couldn't even enjoy WrestleMania. They robbed Asuka of a main event at WrestleMania, and it would have been best for business, and it didn't happen. That upsets me. That's number five. Coming in at number four, huge Florida State fan, right? Right? So, of course, the wide right messed me up back in 1991, but that's not the one that makes me so mad.
Oh,
it's
boy.
The wide right two in 92, because what are the chances that the same team is going to lose in the same form that they lost the year before? How do you have back-to-back wide rights with two different kickers? I mean, Thomas and Mowry, they both went wide right, and I was like, my sports fandom really stinks.
So we've had a rematch piss him off and a reoccurrence.
Okay.
What do you got for your top three?
Coming in at number three, I tell this one, bounce, 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 bounce.
Oh, it's the Jeff Walker
audio. It's the Jeff Walker audio experience. Yes, when Kawhi Leonard, who I love Kawhi, he hit that shot against the Sixers, and that just messed everything up, because who knows? The Sixers, I think, could have went on to beat the Bucks.
Yeah.
Could have went on to win the NBA title. It was all possible. It was all right there, but Kawhi decided, you know, I'm going to snatch this from you. I love you now, Kawhi, but you really kind of made me mad when that happened. The bounce game was just, oof. All right, coming in at number two, the call is Curve struck him out looking.
Carlos Beltran.
2006 Game 7, Adam Wainwright just strikes out Carlos Beltran on three pitches in the third. It was a nasty curve. I get it, but Los, please. Swing the bat, my dude. Swing the bat. As you see, Yadier Molina, who is on my least favorite players list, and if you saw how much he just devastated the Mets every time he played them, then you would understand why I don't like Molina either. He's jumping. He's excited. Yeah. I hate this, all right? Because we could have went to the World Series.
Here comes the football.
All right, now, I'm going to tell you this.
Tony Romo!
Much respect to this man. From everything I've heard, he was a great human being. And I've got nothing. No, this is a real with all respect.
Okay.
But you broke my heart. Dwight Clark, the catch. I mean, I am so sick of looking at this, guys. I can't begin to tell you. If Dwight Clark would have just bit his nails that morning, then we wouldn't have the catch. But it happened. And the Niners went on to a dynasty. The Cowboys went on to, I don't know what the opposite of a dynasty is, but that's what we went on to in the 80s. So Dwight Clark, you really just, and like I said, much respect because I heard the man was just a beautiful human being. But that is my least favorite moment in all of sports. And I cannot wait to hear what everybody else has to say.
TJ Jefferson.
Oh, man.
TJ Jefferson. Do you feel good, though?
No. No. No, because it's brought back bad memories.
I thought it would be therapeutic.
No, I thought it would be too, Rich, but guess what? I was wrong.
Bounce, bounce. Bounce, bounce, bounce. Like, well done. Well done.
Could have went to the World Series. Could have went to the NBA Finals.
You did well done. Well done. Well done. Andrew Whitworth of the Rams and Phil Dunster of Jamie Tart, Ted Lasso fame, and you, Hour 3, coming up.